T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Away!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Welcome to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill here on 980 AM KNBZ, as well as on grillnationshow.com. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for listening as well today on iTunes and Stitcher Radio via podcast. Big show today. I have with me one of our guest hosts and on-air contributors, Ryan Mabey from The Rieger KC and Jay Rieger & Co. Also want to thank our partners and supporters of Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. Our title sponsors of the show are Trusts, Milbank, BOK Financial, and Two West Advisors. Also contributors to the show are, like I mentioned, Ryan Mabey, The One Light Luxury Apartments and Reactor Design Studios, and Clifton Alexander. Let's bring in Ryan Mabey. Welcome to the show, Ryan. Great to see you again. Hope all is well.
All is well. Thank you very much.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back. Ryan is a guest every other month, and one of the things Ryan does is not only talk to us about everything going on with his businesses and his travels, really great thought leader here in the industry or in the Kansas City area. He also brings on great guests from time to time, and today we're going to be talking to Brock Schulte, who used to work with the Rieger and now is the bar director and a partner of the new bar opening up on the plaza, The Monarch, which will be located in the Polzinelli Tower just off the plaza. It looks like a really cool design build, heavily financially backed, looks really cool, and it's going to be a really neat concept for Kansas City. And he's coming on here after the break.
So excited about this bar to open. It's going to be maybe one of the most anticipated bars to open in Kansas City in a long time, and they're just taking it to a whole new level from everything that Brock and his partners have told me and what I know about them. And then just, you know, check out the website and look at those renderings. I mean, it's going to be really stunning. So it's going to be a great thing for KC.
The website is themonarchbar.com, all over social media as well. Looks like they're going to have 3 different design rooms, a bar, a terrace, and a private parlor room for invitations or for booking and whatnot. Looks like it's going to be really neat. We'll see, I would assume, over 100 people. But it's right there in the Polzinelli building outside. If you drive by that building or actually are ever at Jack's Fish House, you can just look across the street and you can see it. It's going to be opening, I believe, in August.
Yeah, I think in a few weeks, yeah.
So that'll be really cool. And very high-end cocktails. They'll have a food menu, small plates, and actually a really interesting bar design. It's not going to be your typical bar that you've seen with liquor stacked up high on the side of the wall. With the bar facing out against a wall, it's going to be an open kind of concept with all of the liquor underneath the bar and the bar sitting in the middle of the room with 22 or 30 seats around it, which would be pretty interesting.
It's a really high concept thing they've got going there by looking at it and by talking to Brock. It's they've thought about every little detail, and there seems to be a lot of purpose behind every decision that they've made, which is really cool.
Inspiration for the bar comes from bars in London. There's one in Italy that defined it, as well as one in Moscow. So it'll be a worldwide, international, global kind of feel to it.
And I think very high end. One more, addition to all the cool things.
I was just asking
KC.
Ryan about restaurants in town and things going on. And how's the Rieger these days? You guys,
Rieger's
are
great,
killing.
Man. We're just cranking along like always. Everything's going really well. We actually just hosted the other night. We just hosted our first in what we hope to be a series of farmers Meet the Farmers events. We did it on the rooftop of the Rieger Hotel, and
I saw photos of that.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really well attended, and basically just an opportunity for guests to come in and meet the farmers that grow the food that we use every day.
Mm-hmm. And pretty cool to be on the rooftop too. Obviously.
That's such a beautiful building. Great view of downtown and the crossroads.
So talk to me about what's going on your street. I know there's, we've talked many times about the development next door. Looks like it's finally going to get developed because that Hereford House big spot there has been just an eyesore for
you know,
for years.
It seems like we have been in a perpetual state of construction for the last 5 years, honestly, but you know, and all for good reason. I mean, the streetcar getting built and now up and running, the apartment complex at 1914 Main that got built on an abandoned old surface lot. And, you know, with all this stuff happening, the new hotel across the street on 20th, all this happening, it's all great. But there's been that one big gaping, okay, what's going to happen here where the Hereford House used to stand in the old Hotel Midwest. And I've been staring at that dilapidated, rundown, you know, thing for almost nine years now. I've been staring at that, wondering, like, when was somebody going to scoop up this prime real estate in the crossroads and do something phenomenal with it? And we now know who's doing that. It's in the works. They haven't broke ground yet, but they're doing ground testing, environmental work, because they're going to have an underground parking garage. And so they're laying the groundwork. They're getting all the permits in place and all that. And I've seen some renderings, and it's going to be pretty awesome.
It's about time, right?
It is really about time, man. I'm looking forward to the day when that whole block is completely finished.
One thing people don't understand about groundbreakings is you have to do a lot of environmental studies before you can actually do them.
There's a lot that has to happen.
Yeah, people would say they'll break ground, but you know, they actually have to do a lot of the federal stuff, EPA stuff.
Yeah, and there's historic tax credits attached to the old Hotel Midwest, and you know, there's a lot that has to fall into place at the right time.
But it is going to happen.
It's
a good thing, and the hotel's almost finished across the way.
It looks like it. Yeah, I mean, I think they're aiming for a fall opening, but it's they're making quick progress.
Mm-hmm. Streetcar expansion vote is happening.
Yeah, due August 1st, I think.
Yeah.
So right around the corner.
I cast my ballot as a downtown resident. So I voted.
I did too. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens. I think me and you were of the same opinion here that they need to expand that thing to the plaza.
I think it absolutely has to go.
You've lived through it.
I have lived through it. And I also, even in hindsight now, I voted to raise my own taxes. I voted to raise my property tax. I voted to raise my sales tax, and I live and work and own property in that area. And you give me 1,000 chances to go back and vote on that again, and I wouldn't change a thing. I think it has been probably even more beneficial than I thought it would be or hoped it would be. It's been great.
Mm-hmm. And the ridership's very high, higher than expectations.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see if they did extend that, what that would do for the rest of the city with development. And more new structures going
Can you imagine how Main Street would develop if it ran, when it runs down to the plaza or down to UMKC?
Mm-hmm.
Main Street is just going
to And hopefully
explode.
We can get it extended to the river. Berkeley River.
A very selfish part of me wants to see it extended down to the East Bottoms too, to the old. So you know, there originally back in the 1800s, there was a streetcar that ran directly to the old Heim building where our distillery is. So
that's cool.
I'd like to see that restored. But that's purely like selfish.
That's
reasons.
Down the road once you finish building out East
right.
Bottoms. You've been traveling a lot. You were in New Orleans. Talk to us about that recently.
Yeah, I was there for Tales of the Cocktail last week. Which is an annual, I think 15 years now. It's the world's biggest cocktail conference where people come in, tens of thousands of people really come from all over the world to do educational seminars and parties, and the brands participate. It's a really big thing. I was down there representing J. Rieger and Company. I gave a seminar on the history of American rectified whiskey. I also was guest bartender for a couple different events. National Daiquiri Day fell right in the middle of that week, and so I got to bartend at an incredibly busy, very hot bar making daiquiris. It was really a lot of fun and a great way to network and build the brand.
And people were excited about J. Rieger & Co.?
Absolutely, man. We get great feedback everywhere we go. It's just, you got to keep doing it. You know,
you're really hustling right now.
We're hustling. We're hustling in a big way, but we have a long way to go, and we just need to keep growing and doing what we're doing.
I love it. Ryan Mabey, guest co-hosting contributor to Grill Nation from J. Rieger & Co. and also of the Rieger KC, is joining me today alongside our first guest, which will be Brock Schulte, who's the bar director at the new place opening up on the plaza, the Monarch Bar. Its website is themonarchbar.com. Check it out. There's amazing videos and aerials and galleries of what this new place is going to look like. We're going to talk to him more in depth about his background and about the Monarch Bar after the break. You're listening to Grill Nation Show. Thanks for joining us today on 980 AM KMBZ.
We'll raise up our is again Steve O'Force's singing. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Welcome back to A Grill Nation with Jason Grill on 980 AM KMBZ and online at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you joining me as well today on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. As always, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes as well as on grillnationshow.com. I'm joined today by Ryan Mabee, a contributor and on-air co-host every other month on The Grill Nation Show. His Twitter handle is at Roundtable Rye. He is a bartender, restaurateur, and he is affiliated with The Rieger and Manifesto, as well as Jay Rieger & Co. His home is Kansas City, a.k.a. the Paris of the Plains, which we talked about a little bit in our first segment today. Ryan Mabee, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
It's great to have you back. Seems like it's been a while since we've had you in, but I'm really excited about our guest today. And I've been kind of noticing a lot of talk about this new place opening up here in Kansas City, The Monarch. It's on the plaza. It's going to be near the Polzinelli building, and Jack's Fish House is across the street, I believe. And I know you have a little history with the bar director we're bringing here in a second, Brock Schulte.
Yeah, actually, not only Brock, but the whole team there, whole group of Kansas City bartenders that are really, really making this thing happen.
It's exciting stuff. I'd seen it. I'd heard about it. I've driven by it many times, but looking forward to learning more about it. Let's bring on Brock right now. Brock Schulte, bar director and partner at The Monarch. The website is, let me make sure I have this right, themonarchbar.com. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
First off, I'd like to say you're rocking a great shirt today, and I'm going to buy one of those.
I like it too.
The Rieger t-shirt. It looks good. So tell us about yourself. How long have you guys known each other? It's been a while, right?
Ryan and I met about 7-8 years ago, I believe, right before Manifesto reopened, and I was interviewing for a job. I was actually on the plaza back then as well. I was working at M&S Grill, and I had heard that he was going to reopen Manifesto and the Rieger, and I really wanted to work at the Rieger. I honestly didn't think I had the chops to work at Manifesto, but we did a working interview at the farmhouse. I got to make all the cocktails while he took credit for said cocktails.
You know, it's so funny. I forgot that was the first time that we met, and I forgot that that was the actual context of the interview, and I'm not sure exactly how that transpired. I'm guessing that I had that event set up, and you had come in to interview, and I needed help, and I was like, hey, why don't you just come work with me that night? I don't know that I necessarily – well, I probably did – you know, create the recipes and set the menu, and then I just made you work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you taught me about how ice is formed.
Right. It's very complicated.
Sounds like a fun night.
It was great. And, you know, from there, he offered me a job and basically said that none of the bartenders were going to work just at the Rieger or just at Manifesto, even though that was a lie because of Dylan Sly. he wanted us to work both bars, and, you know, I took the leap and, you know,
you've been doing it ever since?
Been getting
since?
Yelled at for 7 years ever since.
You've worked in a lot of different areas here in Kansas City, but really mostly in the bar area. What's that like? I mean, probably learned a lot throughout the years.
Most definitely. You know, I'm definitely one that I definitely have a thirst for knowledge, whether it's spirits or, you know, new techniques in cocktails. I really, really do like the modernization of the bar, but really in terms of anything, it's really just relearning what we already knew or had posted like 150, 200 years ago with cocktails. And there was just, you know, a slight disconnect in prohibition and then the relearning of bad techniques. And so we're kind of just bringing it all back and just excited to learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm. In addition, you've worked at a couple other places too in Kansas City. What are some of those?
I have worked at the Rieger, Manifesto. I reopened the Drum Room in the President Hotel.
People like that place.
That's a great place. You know, it's a really awkward bar to work at because it's a semicircle and it's inverted in. So like if you cut a corner too quick, you're definitely banging your knee on a rail or, you know, the open dishwasher. But after you work there for a while, it's really great place to. It was a great place to call home for a while.
Mm-hmm. And that bar, I talk to people from out of town that go there when they're staying there, mm-hmm. and they just love that place.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think my favorite experience there was, now I'm trying to think of his name. I suck at this.
We don't need his name.
Anyways, it's really cool to see like how many celebrities and stuff can actually come through there, and just they really enjoy just a nice, easy bar, you know. And I got to meet the cast of The Walking Dead there.
Oh, wow.
And they had a private party. And, you know, a few others over the course of it all. But it was a really great experience.
You would never know. You would never know.
It's got a great Kansas City vibe.
Yeah.
You know, that building in particular, but the bar, even though it was recently refurbished, remodeled, and rebranded, really, I mean, it still has a really cool Kansas City, authentic Kansas City vibe.
Sure.
I don't think Brock's given himself enough credit. I'm looking at his bio right now. he won the Paris of the Plains National Bartending Competition in 2016 and was a national finalist in the Bombay Sapphire GQ Most Inspired Bartender Competition 3 different times. 2010, 2014.
Wait, have you been in GQ 3 times now?
I've been in GQ twice.
Okay.
That's like a lifelong dream of mine. The sock owner of a business to have our socks for me in GQ. You've been in it 3 times. Look at that.
Twice.
GQ twice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't made the cover yet, though. You got to win.
Yeah.
I'm working on that.
Yeah, right? That's pretty cool. What goes into that? Like, how does that happen? That's interesting to me. They just have a national competition.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of cocktail competitions, and I think they all really try to make each competition their own. Bombay Sapphire is one of my favorite. It's really about, you know, the story, and their concept is the most imaginative bartender. And in that essence, you're coming up with a story that relates to Bombay Sapphire or that relates to you or your life or anything. And, you know, I've heard many, many stories, but it's always a really good one, because at some point, you know, when you get to that top 50 or that top 30, even at nationals, like, you know, for a fact that they're all good drinks, and it could be like not putting that ice cube in the glass that cuts you, and you don't win.
Wow.
It's really crazy. How technical it gets at that point.
Ryan, you've done these competitions as well, haven't you, over the years?
Yeah, I'm retired from competing at this point. But yeah, I've competed in a handful of different ones. I never did the Bombay Sapphire Most Imaginative Bartender competition. I think that one got started around the time that I was kind of ending my run.
It's so stressful, man. Correct. Actually, he registered for the first one I won in Kansas City and never showed up.
I
was told.
No, I was a judge, I think, and maybe I forgot about it. I slept in.
Judged and you participated.
I have competed in quite a few, and they're really, really stressful. I mean, to Brock's point about how little it takes, you know, the difference between winning and not winning is so slim. It's, you know, you just have to be perfect. You have to be absolutely flawless in order to actually win, because the level of professionalism, the level of talent and skill is so high at that point that there's just no room for error. And so it leads to, now that, you know, I think bartenders are taking their career paths more seriously and it's more of a respected and acknowledged profession, which is fantastic for all of us. It really puts a lot of pressure on bartenders for competitions like this. It's real stressful. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I have been fortunate enough to win a few competitions, but I've also lost many, many more by
that's always
going to
be the case.
I mean, it's just like half of a point, like, and just the judge coming up to you after, you were so close. I was like, oh, thanks for that.
Right.
But well,
you guys have done a lot. It's exciting. And I think, as we move forward into our next segment and we start talking about the new bar, the Monarch, their Instagram is the Monarch Bar KC. Let's talk about some of the guys that you're working with. Cause I read an article in the Star, recently from, I think earlier this year, about, you know, 3 all-star bartenders create Monarch Cocktail Bar and Lounge coming this summer. It's opening in August, right?
Yes.
Okay. So talk to us about some of these guys that you're working with and you started this company with.
So, it really, all came out of, David Manick and I get our haircut at the same place at the salon, KC and Main Street. And, he had a vision to bring, a West London style cocktail bar to Kansas City. And, we had a small coffee talk, if you will, and
kind of how it gets started, right?
Right.
Entrepreneurship.
Yep. About a year and a half ago, or yeah, a little, almost 2 years ago now. And, it kind of just all spurred from there. And we had started Liquid Minded Concepts, which does brand activations, events, and all kinds of things related to alcohol. And we, as a team, Kenny Coors, Mark Church, and then Brandon Cummins, started working on this project. And, Mark, Kenny, I, and David are the, with David being the majority owner, are all partners in the concept, with Brandon Cummins being a a liaison or a consulting on the project.
So David has like an architecture background, right?
Yeah, he's really good. He'd never boast about it, but like he's been on like the four largest stadiums that are in Asia. He has offices in London, Shanghai, and Kansas City. The most familiar one at the currently, I believe, is for me, the Raiders Stadium in Vegas. He and his team have designed that, and it's really, really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, there's just an article in the Daily Beast
yep.
about how world famous architect David Manica chose Kansas City to open a bar.
Yeah. And it was really just, you know, making the world just a little bit smaller. You know, there's a lot of cool bars in Chicago, LA, and New York, and there in between, and Austin and Houston. And, you know, it's really nice to, like, just start bridging the gap between all the major cities and, you know. Opening another a bar of this style here.
And Ryan was a pioneer in that.
Absolutely.
When you opened the Rieger and Manifesto, right, Ryan? People might have doubted you back then.
Well, no, people. A lot of people doubted me. There's no doubt about that. I was constantly told you're crazy or don't do that or what the hell are you thinking, and that only made me more determined.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's proven out here, huh? Now mm-hmm. we talked a little bit in the first segment about all the development happening around there now.
Oh, it's great, man! I love it. It's so great to see.
James Beard nomination.
Yeah, there you go.
Tales of the Cocktail top four.
It's been yeah. pretty wild, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride. We got Brock Schulte, the Monarch, from the Monarch Bar, and we have Ryan Mabey, Jay Rieger & Co., and the Rieger with me today in studio. In this next segment, I really want to break down kind of the ins and outs of the Monarch, which is set to open just in a few days here in August. Looking forward to it. You're listening to Grill Nation.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood. One shot, two shot, copper tone red. Every time you kiss me, it's like sunshine and whiskey.
Welcome back to Grill Nation on 980 AM KMBZ. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us again today. Also, thanks for listening today on grillnationshow.com, where you can find all of our podcasts, photos of our guests, and more information about our supporters and sponsors of the show. Also, I have on one of those contributors and on-air guest host who joins me every other month on the show, bringing in great guests. We have Ryan Mabey from Jay Rieger & Co., also the guy behind the Rieger. It's a great restaurant here in Kansas City. And we're also joined today by Brock Schulte, who's a very well-known guy here in Kansas City and has done a lot of work in the industry throughout the years. He's an all-star bartender, bar director of the new Monarch Bar, and also a partner in the place with a guy who actually is designing the new Golden State Warriors Stadium, if I'm reading this right here, and the new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas. So that's pretty cool that you're partnering up with a guy that has that kind of architectural credentials, and your bartending and mixologist credentials are there too.
It's really funny to see them. He has a great team, and to see them working on a $2 billion project one day and then coming down to our project at the next. So it's just really cool the kind of detail that they can bring
so,
to a project.
Yeah, and so, okay, so you went over the team in the last segment. Let's talk about this location and what we're going to see in the Monarch, because to me it looks like it's going to be very high class in the pictures I've seen. The website is themonarchbar.com. Obviously, it has a lot of history behind the name. But what are we going to be getting? What's the experience look like? And then we'll go through the three different areas of design.
So the three areas, we really wanted to bring, a very modern feel, but classic in nature. So we have the first area that you walk into is the terrace or the patio.
And most people have driven by that over the years.
Sure.
It's right on the plaza.
And a lot of people didn't even realize that it could have been built into a patio. I mean, to be honest, I didn't even think of it at all. And then it's what we've done with it is completely enclose it with wood terrace. And then it's got a 3-inch glass roof. And then we have heaters and infrared heaters and fans to keep it temperate throughout, hopefully 9 to 10 months out of the year.
So outdoor patio.
Uh-huh. And then as you
glass pad canopy though.
What yeah.
Tell me about that. So is that like it's always over there or is it?
Yep.
Okay.
So it's think of it as a glass roof on the patio so that even if it's raining or if there's, you know, I mean, even when it's light snowfall sometimes in Kansas City, it's like, you know, still 45 degrees outside, you know? I like a good cocktail and just a little bit of rain, you know?
I like that. That is really neat. And it looks like the patio was inspired by some things that one of the owners saw in Europe, in Moscow, because it's very cold there, too. That's kind of the theory behind the canopy.
Correct.
Where you could get drinks sometimes, even with the canopy over it. What's the next? The main room is probably the next thing you designed.
The main room was probably most notably like Bar Russi in Italy and the Connaught Bar in London. For me, it's also Kansas City's first bottle-less back bar. There is no like liquor wall of liquor shelf. All our bottles and stuff are contained underneath, and it really makes the whole feel of the room more like your living room or a very just comfortable lounge.
About that, because that's unique, right?
I think it's really unique personally, and I'm both fascinated by it and also a little bit, you know, kind of puzzled by it, because you know me, I mean, my style is very classic, I like a big, tall, just long wall of liquor.
You have a library ladder in your house.
I do, actually. You know, and I think that from a business perspective, you know, one of the advantages of that is when I go to some bars and I see back bar shelves like that are sparse, you know, or have several rows of the same spirit taking up a whole bunch of space, or maybe like a statue or just some sort of quirky artwork, I always wonder, you know, what the thinking is behind that, because the more booze you put up there, the more liquor you put up there for people to see, the more likely you are to sell it. And so from a I think from a design perspective, what you're saying is really interesting and I'm intrigued by it, but I also question it a little bit, because I want to know, like, how do you sell at that point?
So I always felt like, especially with my time at the Rieger, like selling almost always came at the behest of who was doing the liquor ordering, me, or who was, had a lot of insight on the liquor menu or the cocktail menu itself. You know, I don't know how many times I've had a cocktailer, hey, can you come talk to this guy about whiskey? It didn't matter if we had a whiskey list. It's they wanted a personal interaction. And that's what we've really tried to design with that area in the main area of the Monarch Bar. Like I said, there's 22 seats around the main bar. And each bartender at the main bar is responsible for 10 guests. If there's standing guests outside of that, sure. But another aspect of the bar that we've added in that room is the bar cart. We have a custom-made bar cart by Peter Warren, a local.
He's awesome.
Tell us about that.
So the bar cart is actually really, really neat. We're designing the first menu around the menu period around the migratory paths of the monarch butterfly, and whether they're migrating south for the fall or north or during the spring, we're really taking insight from all kinds of flavors and you know, ingredient cues from their paths all across the world. And on the first one, what we're doing is the Negroni, main emphasis on the Negroni, which is strong, bitter, and sweet, equal part cocktail, generally gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. Now we take up a lot of iterations of that, or six different iterations of that we're providing on the bar cart. But the main aspect for the bar cart is to bring a bartender to your table that you can converse with, talk through questions about the menu, and really just become familiar with what is unfamiliar to you. I think that my favorite experiences in a bar are always at the bar, where I get to talk to a bartender about what's he making, what is he doing, why is he doing it. Ooh, that's really cool what you did with that cocktail right there. Which one's that? You know, it's that guest interaction that a lot of people it's the guest interaction that I feel a lot of people.
Well, and I think in a lot of traditional bar settings like that, what you just described, that interaction with the bartender that generally tends to be more enlightened and informed on all the products behind the bar and how the drinks are made. That doesn't always get translated clearly and effectively by servers at the table. And I'm not saying that there aren't some out there that are really
absolutely
in tune, but at the same time, I'd say in a lot of cases you do miss something at the table. And so that idea of actually bringing the bar cart to the table and actually building the drink there in front of the guest is really a cool idea, because it will require that your entire staff, they're all trained bartenders.
Yes.
right?
Yes. So even like what you would generally call just like a cocktail server will be absolutely trained to be able to step behind the bar cart or behind the bar and help out if necessary. Even a bar back that you would normally say was his job is to look down, clean up, and get you anything you need. Whereas what we want to do is really cultivate a learning community in Kansas City and be more of an incubator for on how to do things correctly, how to work fast while still being communicable to guests, all things like service and hospitality.
So you've got the Monarch Bar. We're talking to Brock Schulte, bar director at the Monarch Bar. Check it out at themonarchbar.com. Great website. You have the bar we just talked about. You talked about the terrace patio. You also have the parlor room. What is that?
So the parlor room
is
where
the third part of the design.
The third part of the design is where we can really shoot for the stars, so to speak. There are 8 cocktails on the parlor room menu that are only available in the parlor room, and they're more interactive, more of a showmanship, if you will, on the serve.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of. We're also taking advantage of using liqueurs and spirits that you most of the time wouldn't put in a normal cocktail list. My favorite is probably a riff on the classic daiquiri. Even though it's not rum, the basic build is the same and design of the cocktail is the same. We're actually going to be using Akintoshan 18 year in a chocolate banana daiquiri style. And that really has, when you read it like that, it doesn't seem like something you'd want.
Oh, I'm already going over it in my head, you know, and like trying to figure out those flavors together, but it sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
Like,
so we're acidulating, Jaffard pineapple liqueur for the acid portion. And then we're going to make a grilled plantain and cocoa, syrup and just half two, nice and simple with the, Akintoshan 18 year. And what you really get on a good aged daiquiri is the barrel notes, and for me, whiskey from Scotland that's at least 15 years old has a lot of similarities. They kind of get some smoke, some funk, some barrel characters that it really just takes time to get there.
Mm-hmm. So what's like the size of this place? Like I keep thinking in my mind because I've been in that building so many times at Pulcinelli or at the JJ's.
Sure. So the parlor itself actually will only hold about 16 to 20 people. I believe its occupancy is 22, but if we have a bar or a bartender and a server in there at the same time, we bring that occupancy down. The main room will hold about 65 to 70, and then the terrace, it will hold 65. So we're shooting for the 150 to 170 area,
mm-hmm.
Trying not to do a lot of standing room, but we're obviously not going to turn people away, and we want everybody to feel very comfortable in the environment that they're in.
Ryan, compare that to the Rieger. For size purposes, what's your occupancy?
If you figure in all the components of the Rieger, not counting manifesto, we've got about, counting the patio, about the same, about 150 total if we're at capacity in all those areas. So it's about the same as the Rieger.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to me because I've driven by that patio and I'm trying to think of myself. I haven't been on it, obviously, mm-hmm. but just driving by, I'm like, it doesn't look that big, but I'm looking at your photos on the website and it looks a lot bigger than I think it is from the street.
Yeah, very loungy feel. Like we're easily going to be able, there's 1, 2, 3 separate seating areas or seating lounge type areas, mm-hmm. on the patio, and then some a standing room table as well.
Very cool. We're talking to Brock Schulte, bar director and partner in the Monarch Bar. Also joining me today is guest host Ryan Mabey from Jay Rieger and Co. and the Rieger Casey. We're right back after the break with more Grill Nation. Thanks for joining us today on 980 AM KMBV. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM KMBZ. I'm your host, Jason Grill, joined again by Ryan Mabey, Jay Rieger & Co., and the Rieger KC, as well as my good friend Brock Schulte from the Monarch, really cool new concept bar happening on the Plaza area. The website is themonarchbar.com. Really interesting place. Excited to check it out. Brock, let's talk about, again, location. So you guys are located in the cross street from Jack's Fish House. In the Pulcinelli, kind of the tower there.
The Pulcinelli building, yeah.
Pulcinelli building, JJ's, uh-huh. is across the way. Seat about 150 people, 175. Why'd you choose that location? Because it's a growing area in Kansas City.
So I think that one of the, and Ryan can repeat again, one of the most important things I think when you're opening, you know, a restaurant or bar is location, location, location. And I think that we looked for about 8 months for the right type of location. You know, I wanted a bar that, you know, held around 100, if not a little more. And I also wanted easy access on and off to, you know, main areas of traffic. So what's really good is, like, we can get off, right off, we're right off Roanoke, mm-hmm. or right on Roanoke. And then, so you can get on Southwest Trafficway really easy, which gets you to I-35. There's also hotels, and we're in the shopping area of the plaza. So there's a lot of foot traffic that in and around that area. And for us, it was, you know, being nice and close to, you know, the state line, Mission Hills, you know, just being a little bit closer than everybody saying, like, oh, I don't want to go all the way downtown tonight. So people, or even, you know, for people that who had gone downtown, they can stop by and have one more drink before they're on their way home. Mm-hmm. So.
And you got a ton of lawyers that work in that building.
Yeah, and there's 200 lawyers above
probably,
us.
And like, I hope, which will probably like cocktails.
And, them and Waddell and Reed. And yeah. I hope that they really enjoy having us there as well.
It's pretty cool. And you guys just picked up a head chef, right?
We did. Executive chef. Our first executive chef is Tricia Ota. And she's put together a really nice menu of small plates. Our intention was never to be a place that people stayed for dinner, though. If you had dinner plans and were enjoying yourself enough that you could satiate yourself mm-hmm. enough to maybe skip dinner.
Yeah, right. And but, she comes over from Jack's, right?
She did. She worked with Jack's. She worked with the big, too. Yeah, she worked with the Big Red F family for 10 years, I believe. And I believe the last 2 years has been in at Jack's in Kansas City. She actually decided they, I believe, were going to think about moving away. And we presented her with the opportunity and that we wanted someone that could really bring small plates, but in a way that really matched the cocktails. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things I learned from Ryan and Howard Hanna at the Rieger was that your concept really has to match each other across the board, from the layout of the bar, the textures, the feel of the bar, and especially your food and your drink options. You know, really curating the setting.
She is from Hawaii, so that'll be interesting.
She is. She brings a lot of that flair. There's some ahi tuna tots, we're calling them, that are going to really great.
People like tater tots, and they like ahi tuna, so there you go. sounds like something I'm going to order.
We'll put a little bit of spin on the tots. They look like tots. It's actually fried arborio rice. So a small play on like risotto balls, but without the
sounds delicious. Covering.
They're really.
Do you see any actual direct connection between the food and the cocktails, like a tasting menu or any events like that, where you're actually creating drinks to specifically go with the food, or vice versa?
She has actually, in this sense, taken what would normally be vice versa, where in much of my experience has been finding a drink or creating a drink to match the dinner menu. Whereas in this instance, we had created the first cocktail list. And she's created a menu that helps accentuate the cocktails on that list.
That's really cool. You never would have seen that, you know, even 5-10 years ago.
Sure. No, not at all.
It's pretty awesome.
And then another thing that we really want to get going is, like, on Monday, Tuesday nights, is do little late night dinners around the main bar area as well. And 4-5 courses, bring in a chef or bring in a bartender locally, and really just let them have the bar to themselves and show what they can do and have some fun.
Ryan, you wanted to talk briefly about another issue about the Monarch, right? On break, you were talking about it.
The issue. The I don't remember which issue that was.
I lost my train of thought there.
I did too. You know, but one thing I just wanted to point out about the Monarch Bar and everything that I know about Brock and Mark and Kenny and those guys are, you know, just, you know, first class bartenders, but what they're getting the opportunity to do there with the backing from their partners and the plans that I've seen are just absolutely stunning. I think I've been pretty fortunate to travel around the world and see a lot of the bars in the world that get the most attention and hype. And in, you know, places like New York and Chicago and London, like Brock mentioned, there's a lot of influence from London going into this bar. I don't think we've seen anything quite to that level in Kansas City before. Usually little startup bars and restaurants that are created by independent chefs and bartenders. We kind of have to, you know, bootstrap and work on a shoestring budget and piece things together and try and make it work out, you know, with the limited resources we have. But from what I'm seeing here, you guys are just like shooting for the stars. It's like really no expense spared. It's going to be a world-class level of overall experience. And I think that's pretty awesome for KC.
It's absolutely the experience that we're trying to cultivate. It's been really great to also come in. Like we've all opened bars and been there, you know, when, you know, this is going to be your starting cocktail list and this is the glassware you're going to put it in. And, you know, this is the bar you're working in, you know, make it work. And from this design aspect, we started with a concrete box basically and completely filled it with every decision we were there on the making. So, it's been really cool to see that aspect of it and become a part of it and, you know, really make it feel like it's our own. And, you know, you speak to the luxury living room style feeling that you're seeing almost hotel bar, East London hotel bar. And it's really like an investment in Kansas City.
Let me ask you quickly about the name. Let's talk about the Monarch name.
Sure. So the Monarch Bar has like, you know, it has a lot of roots. The Monarch to Kansas City especially has had ties to the Negro baseball team, which got
Negro
its name.
Leagues, yeah. Huh? Kansas City Monarchs. Yeah.
The Kansas City Monarchs. And they took their name from an old, the people that sponsored the jerseys, actually, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, just like the Kansas City royalty all the way across the board, you know, the Chiefs, the Royals, I'm missing a ton of them right now.
A lot of crowns in town. A lot of images of royalty, crowns. And,
right.
And
we took the aspect of the butterfly, to another level, I think. And, really just like, it is it really does speak to like how unique of a creature it is. I mean, it's the only creature, think something that only weighs a few grams, but travels 3,000 miles once a year. Like it's an unbelievable feat.
I'm seeing there is also a famous printing company here with the name Monarch.
Right.
As well.
That's what I was mentioning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So opening, talk to us about the opening, when it's going to happen. When can people check out the Monarch?
We have our quiet opening on August 21st, which is actually the day of the eclipse, which will be really cool. So we'll be doing a special for that. But then on that Friday, the 25th, is when we're going to do a ribbon cutting ceremony and have the Kansas City Chamber of Commerce out and do a grand opening.
Great. So that weekend of the 25th and 26th, Ryan, we know where we're going to be.
I know where I'll be. No doubt about it.
The Monarch. I hope to make it out there, too, to check it out. I want a Brock. A Brock made drink, though. You're going to have to like roll up your sleeves again.
Just let me know what you like and get it done.
Appreciate you coming on the show. This is really cool. The Monarch is located again on the plaza in the Polzinelli building. TheMonarchBar.com is the website. They have a great Instagram, Twitter feed. Looks like an amazing spot. They even have a video they just put up as well. Ryan, maybe I think you did a great job. This has been a great interview. Appreciate you, Brock, for coming in today. Looking forward to checking it out, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Ryan, great to have you back again this week. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Man.
Did
My
a great
pleasure.
Job. You've been listening to Grill Nation. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.